Father, we are thankful that you are good and that you have good plans. God, I don't want to miss one of them. I don't want to miss one of them. I don't want to miss one thing that you have planned for me through my own fleshliness, through my own stubbornness. I don't want to miss one. So, Lord, I pray that today, Lord, that you would just so transform my mind, and each one of us in the house, to think, what does my Father want me to have? What does my Father want me to do? Because his plans are good. Mine fail, but his are good. Thank you, God, that you are good. And as the scripture tells us, you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to plan to give us good hope and a future. And we thank you, God, on this first Sunday of the new year that we're here giving you our first fruits, because we know that we want to get in on what you've got for us. So, Lord, thank you. It's good. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see you this Sunday. It's a good Sunday. Amen. Amen. The weather can be nasty outside. It's good inside. It's good inside. I remember when Caleb was just a little bitty guy. When he was born, we were doing faith-based ministries before we came to Sand Springs. And faith-based ministry means you go hungry. That's what that means. And not for everybody. Some people are better at gaining support than I was. I hated it. Trying to get people to give to me was just not my thing. And so, but he was just a little fella, and he didn't get a lot of new stuff. And his birthday is right around Christmas time. And I remember as he's opening up his presents, he would get so excited. And he'd say, "Is it new? Is it new?" And so I was kind of sad now. We gave him a bunch of garage sale stuff. But that now, you know, this is the new year, and it is new. Amen. We're just peeling the wrapper off this thing. And we're excited about what God has planned for us for this new year. And aren't you thankful for new beginnings? Amen. Lamentations 3:23, his mercies are new every morning. I'm glad for that, because every morning I need new mercies. And so I'm so thankful for that. Even in the smallest of commentaries, like ones at the back of your Bible, the word study on the word new is really fun and exciting. So you may want to go home and do that, but I'm just going to give you the quick rundown on some of the new things that us Christians get when we start our new life in Christ. And so we're going to go rapid fire, full auto on these verses of scripture, starting with Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. This is my blood of the new covenant. Sam has already mentioned that in our taking of communion. We're a part of the new covenant, and he has shed his blood for many for the remission of sins. Amen. All right, so here's how this is going to happen. Y'all are already light years above the first service. They were so quiet. I don't know why. They act like it's rainy and gloomy outside, but you're already doing better. But when I get to the word new, would you just say it with me? New, okay? A new, oh, look at y'all. Y'all are so fun. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So we get it in the new covenant, we have a new commandment, and that commandment is love. Next passage. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I love this. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Man, y'all are great. Next passage. Because finding fault, now this is Hebrews chapter 8, kind of defines the new covenant. It kind of explains what comes with this new covenant. Because finding fault with them, the previous laws, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And we get to be partakers of this as well. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Just, you know, highlight that a little bit. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Just real quick before the next passage. The previous covenant was written on tablets of stone. Now, I sometimes have a head like stone, but he says, I will write my laws on your mind and on your heart. Amen. Next passage. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Amen. Isn't it awesome that the God who knows everything says, I choose to forget some things? Because I don't know how many times I've asked him, would you just erase that from your memory? Would you just, can we never go over that again? I'm asking you to forgive me, God, and just wash those sins away. I think there's one more. He says that a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete, growing old, is ready to vanish away. And that was referring to the old law. Revelation chapter 2, we're talking about this new. There we go. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a you're going to get a new name. A new name. And I don't know what this stone stuff is going to be like, but I just know it's going to be cool. All right, it's going to be fun. All right, you get a new name, we're going to sing a new song. Next passage. That next one. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals. You were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Speaking to Jesus, Jesus gives us a new song. And you know what? He puts a new song in your heart, doesn't he? He puts a new song in your heart. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And that God just restores everything. And one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, Jesus says, I make all things new. Amen. And he's good at that, didn't he? Jesus makes all things new. Well, I like new, but there's a problem. There's a couple problems with new. And that, number one, it's the cost. That was why Caleb, when he was a little fella, didn't get a lot of new stuff. But the cost on new is kind of high. So sometimes we try and bargain shop. Do you know God didn't bargain shop with you? But he gave the highest cost, the highest price that he could possibly give, he gave for our salvation. You know, John 3:16, I think I say it every Sunday, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the highest cost. Sometimes I'll treat Christy to a nice dinner on the town. And here a few months ago, I took her to a place in Tyler, and a nice restaurant. Nicest I think we've ever been to. Valet parking. Yeah, have you ever seen my pickup truck? It is redneck. And probably dirty. I think I actually may have washed it that day because I was treating her good, you know. And if y'all have ever been to Prime 102, an old bank building in Tyler, and I climbed out of that pickup truck, and I told the valet guy, I said, just leave the pistol alone. It's just there, all right? Forgot to take it out before I got here. And this guy's looking at me like, you are redneck. Anyway, treated her to a nice dinner. I never paid so much for a meal in my life. But it wasn't about the cost, except for the fact of saying there's no price too high for you. And that is what God did for us when he gave us Jesus. He said, there's no price too high for you. So new is expensive, but that's kind of the point, isn't it? That just expresses the amount of love. And so God gave it all. And there was no amount of sacrifice that was too high for you. And that's the testimony of God to you. He said, I love you that much. I love you enough to give it all. Now, the other thing is, if it costs God that much to get this new that we've already read about, there's another part of it. And this is the part that we like less than the previous part, that God pays so much. But the other part is, it costs us something. It costs us something to get in on all of the plans that he has for us, to get in on everything that he desires for us to have, it's going to cost you something. What is it going to cost? You're going to have to turn loose of the old. You got to let go of the old in order to grab a hold of the new. That our church verse of scripture, Isaiah 43, don't hold on to the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Don't hold on to the old when I'm trying to give you something new. Illustration I used to use a lot, hadn't in a while. I love this story. There's a little girl. She was going to the grocery store with mom. And the grocery stores used to do this low-down, dirty, underhanded thing and put a bunch of little toys on a rack by the checkout counter. I don't know if they do that anymore. But they would be in a little, it's in my mind right now. This little wire rack with the little clips on it and these packages with the clear front, and it'd have this little junk jewelry inside. You know what I'm talking about? So this little girl, or the rinky-dink cars, not the good Hot Wheels that are in the back. It was the junky cars. That's the ones you pop, blow up with the fireworks. That's the kind of cars that would be up front. And this little girl's going to the grocery store with mom, and she sees that jewelry. Oh, she had to have that necklace. Mom, could you please get me that necklace? She says, no, I'm not going to buy you that necklace, but I want you to earn it for yourself. And so the little girl went home, and she got new chores, and she worked, and she saved, and she got that money. And finally, one day, she goes to the grocery store, and she pulls out her change and puts it on the counter, and she bought her little necklace. She was so proud. She wouldn't even take it off to take a bath. And just turned her neck green, you know, the little cheap junk jewelry. And Dad would pray with her every night before she went to sleep. And one night, her dad said, darling, would you give me your necklace? She said, but Daddy, it's my necklace. He said, I know. I just thought maybe you'd give me your necklace. He kissed her on the head and went to bed. Another week later, he comes and says, darling, would you give me your necklace? And she said, but Daddy, I earned the money and I bought it myself. It's my necklace. I love my necklace. Okay, sweetie, it's okay. And he just kissed her and went to bed. Then about a week later, he comes in there to tell her goodnight and pray with her. And her little lip was quivering, and she held out her hand and she said, here's my necklace, Daddy, you take it. Well, as she did that, he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a real 24-karat gold necklace. And he put that necklace on his little girl. See, as long as we're holding on to our trinkets, he can't give us his treasure. As long as we continue to hold on to the old, our hands are filled that he can't pour into us the new. So it does cost us to have the new, and that, okay, God, I'm going to let go of that because you have something better. Amen. Amen. So I want to look at a few verses of scripture here. The other issue about, that was issue number one, the cost. But number two is new things become old pretty quickly. You go see Brother Jeff and you buy a new car, guess how long before that new car becomes a used car? It moves from one lot to the next lot in just a short amount of time. And then, you know, at one time my truck was a new truck and your car was a new car. But now look at it. I got a new dent in it yesterday. It's not new anymore. It doesn't take long before new becomes old, except with God. Because God does this neat thing with us, and he renews us. Amen. He renews. Some things are new and they get old pretty quickly, but God renews. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen. And then the next verse of scripture, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wouldn't it be awesome if yet, speaking of your vehicle, if every morning you got up and you went into the garage, or I don't have a garage, but went into the carport, and that thing was brand new every day. Wouldn't that be cool? You don't have to change the oil in it. You don't have to wash that thing. It is brand new every day, and it never grows old. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, that's not the way this works. And then in the scriptures, it says that this outward person is depleting, it's deteriorating, it's going downhill. And when you hit the top of that hill at 50, it's a fight. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I got an amen out of somebody. It's a fight not to let this thing deteriorate so fastly. But it says the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Renewed. Now, when you look at that verse of scripture, verse 16, all right, all you English teachers and knowledgeable ones, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. Is that active or passive? That's passive. Being. Someone else is doing the renewing. Amen. I didn't even expect that to rhyme, but that did. Someone else is doing the renewing. And I am allowing him to renew me. Amen? So, I have a part in this, but there are things that when it comes to my soul and my spirit, I can't do. And that's why I'm dependent upon his mercies to be new every morning. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. Remember that. Active or passive? Active or passive? Am I doing the renewing? Or is he doing the renewing? Verse 17, chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, or as lost people do, in the futility of your minds. Don't be like lost people, Christian. Don't do that. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, separated, because of the ignorance, they just don't know. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. So this passage of scripture is talking about how lost people live. People who have not been made new, 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we are a new creation. But those who are lost don't live that way because they've not been made new. Their spirit has not been born again. And so he gives some illustrations of what they're like. And it says that their understanding is being darkened. Satan will do everything he can to keep that veil of darkness so that you can't understand the truth of God's word. Their understanding being darkened, and that it says because of the ignorance. In other words, they just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know. If you're a lost person, you don't know of the amazing life that is in Christ Jesus until you come to experience this life that is in Christ Jesus. They're ignorant of it. They don't understand it. They don't know. And then it goes on to say because of their ignorance, because of the blindness of their heart, you can't see it. Then it goes to say this, being past feeling. That's a dangerous place to be. When someone has gone so far into sinfulness that it doesn't even bother their conscience anymore. Now, Christian, if this is you, let me just go ahead and startle you real quick. You're not a Christian. If you're past feeling, then you're not in Christ Jesus. And this should be a wake-up call. If sin doesn't, it's no longer a struggle, then there's a problem, because as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within us. And if we continue an unholy lifestyle, then that is going to disturb us. There's going to be an internal turmoil, right? And so this is not the way of a Christian, but we can become calloused Christians. And so as we start this new year right, it could be that I need to become even more sensitive to the ways of the Lord. Fasting is a good way to do that. Fasting is a way to become more spiritually sensitive. I like to say that it cleans my spiritual ears that I can hear from the Lord. Fasting is a way that I it's not trying to bend God my way. It's me bending his way. It's getting this flesh, this old stubborn flesh, to submit to my Savior. Amen? But Christian, if that callousness is setting in, then it is definitely time to do something drastic in order to become sensitive once again. But this is a description for lost people that their mind is darkened, their heart is ignorant, and their past feeling. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Amen, child of God. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, turn loose of the old trash, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed. There's that word again. And notice the tense. Be renewed. Someone else is doing the renewing. But I have some part to play in this. Be renewed. I'm going to finish this verse, and then we're going to move to the next one, Romans 12. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I need to let go of the old and grab on to the new. Amen? And when I take an active part in doing that, turning loose of the past, turning loose of what I used to do, letting go of the former lust, as this passage of Scripture talks about, then the good plans that he has for me, now I can lay hold of them. There was some that walked in the door early this morning, and I wasn't going to try and shake their hand because their hands were full. Right? You know, they could have stuck it under their arm or whatever, but they wouldn't want to drink out of that anymore. But when your hands are full, how is he supposed to put more things in your hands? The things that he wants you to have. He wants you to have his full inheritance. Full inheritance. And so he says, you need to turn loose of some things so that you can take hold of other things. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We don't use this word a whole lot anymore. I don't beseech that often. But another good word for it is I beg. I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That body, that outward man that is wasting away, that you present that to him as a living sacrifice. Lord, I am yours today. I'm yours. Do with me as you wish to do with me. To present your body as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to God. That's a reasonable service. But look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. It's to be conformed to this world, the image that is given with this picture is to be pressed into a mold, to be squoze. To be squoze into a mold. And that the world is trying to press you into an image, to be conformed into its image. And so you got these cookie cutter people that are just worldly, just ignorant of God's goodness and just squoze into this mold. But he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That is not an outward pressure pushing you into something, but an inward power exploding out of you. Amen. An inward power that God is powerfully working in you. So how do I do that? I present myself to him. I present myself to him, a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. I'm yours. Lord, here I am. I'm yours. I've shared on this verse of Scripture before and how there is a problem with being a living sacrifice and that I can walk with my backside. I can slide right off that altar and I can sit down on that altar the first thing in the morning. I'm yours, Lord. But boy, as the day goes, that's the problem of being living. So I need to present myself to the Lord as a living sacrifice, not just first thing in the morning, which I do, but throughout the day. Lord, I'm letting go of the past. I'm grabbing hold of what you have for me. And in this presenting myself and positioning myself in Christ Jesus, he then comes and renews my mind. Amen? He then comes along and says, you do what you can do, I'll do what you can't do. You do what you can do. That our minds, you know, we can do studies. There have been studies done on the effect of persons' brains due to sinfulness. And that it can absolutely affect that. I mean, we see this often. Those who have done some hard drugs, maybe some areas have been burnt. And we know that. Do you know we have a healing God? that he can renew and restore. And he can heal those things that the enemy has stolen, but God will renew them. And so we believe God's a healer. And we see it. And at this church, 21 days of prayer and fasting, today's day one. And every year we see God do the miraculous. First service we had Brother Rod Millsap sharing about last year and how God healed one of our friends, his friend and my friend is a pastor. He had cancer. We prayed for him during 21 days of prayer and fasting. No cancer. No treatment, no cancer. God healed him. Amen. Amen. But that's just one story. There's so many of them. And during our prayer time, we'll have cards up here of prayer requests. We're going to be meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning, promptly done at 7, Saturdays at 9 o'clock. This is the best thing this church does all year long by far, 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, we've talked about fasting before, and that's something that I can't talk on today. Obviously, I've already run out of time. But maybe you want to fast a meal and say, I'm not going to eat this meal. I'm going to spend this meal time with the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. Maybe you want to fast like that. But also, I just want to encourage you, for 21 days, would you start off every day, even if you can't be here, would you start off every day saying, Lord, here I am. I'm presenting myself to you. I'm a living sacrifice, and I'm submitted to you, God. And I want all of the good plans you have for me. And I'm letting go of the old things. I'm letting go of my trash. I'm letting go of my treasure, my trinkets, because I want to grab hold of your treasure. I know you have better things for me that I might not even know about. And so I'm releasing the former things. I'm not holding on to the things of the past so that I may grab hold of the things of the new. And I know that he has good plans for this church. He has good plans for us individually and us corporately. You know, weak people make excuses. Strong people make changes. I mentioned this not too long ago. Does anybody, for all the bonus points, know the third point? Kingdom people make a difference. Weak people make excuses. Well, I can't do that because... and I continue to fail because it's not my fault, somebody else. Weak people make excuses. Strong people make changes. It's like, yeah, I may have some things going against me, but I won't use those excuses. Strong people make changes. I will present my body a living sacrifice. But kingdom people, it's not longer just about changing this guy. It's about changing the world that we live in. Amen. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you have greater desires for us than we even know about. And we don't want to miss one thing. We don't want to miss one treasure that you have in store for us. I've heard of the illustration of someone getting to heaven and the angel showing them around, but the door was closed to one room. That person asking the angel, what's in there? Oh, you don't want to see what's in there. Wow, what's in there? Those are all the treasures that you could have had if you'd have just trusted God. Lord, we don't want to miss one thing. Lord, help us to release. It hurts when you pry our fingers off, so help us to release those things that we need to let go of. The trash or our trinkets. Help us to release so that we may grab hold of the true treasure that you promised us. We know that it's good. We know. And we desire it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.